Our marriages are under attack. They're under attack by society to have them think that they can pressure us into something that goes against God's word. Our marriages and families are under attack ultimately by the devil, who would want nothing more than to kill, steal, and destroy what God has brought together. And so we're in the middle of this series called Hold the Line, as we are under attack, as we fix our bayonets, which we're calling the Word of God because it is a sword, and we're ready for battle to charge in and to hold the line as we continue to be attacked. So this morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to get your copy of God's Word, and we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. As you turn there, I want to talk to you and let you know soccer season has begun. Whoop, whoop, soccer season. That's about how I feel about it too. Sorry, bud. I'm not a soccer player. Do you know why? Because it causes me to run. I'm about a sport that is more about sitting on the sideline. But I have girls that have participated and are participating in soccer. And this has been a great week of excitement because, yay, soccer's back. I get to see my family. I get to see my friends. I get to see my school friends. And I get to hang out and see more than just my family. And I come home, how was soccer practice? Oh, I hurt so bad. It hurts me. Reminds me of a time when they were younger. Each of the girls, they took time to join Pee Wee soccer. And this was a great time of life. Pee Wee soccer, what I call Pee Wee, is anywhere from like 4 years old to about second grade. And each one participated to their varying abilities. And it was a lot of fun to see them play soccer. As a proud father, I am always proud of my girls, no matter how good they are or how much improvement they need. I'm always proud of them. And I was really proud of my girls as they play Pee Wee soccer. And I'd sit in the sidelines and I'd cheer, yay, go! And it was the most painful thing I've ever seen in my life. It was painful because as a young age, as 4 years old, 5 years old, they want to get the ball. And so they don't understand the offense and defense that is there. All they want to do is get the ball. So you have 11 kids on each team, 5 kids on each team, friends. It doesn't matter. They're all in one group, and they're just going around like this in one big mob. You laugh because you've been there. And you sit there and you cheer, yay, and you win. Who knows if anybody scored a goal? Because they're just running around. You're like, pass the ball, but they're all in this bubble. All of them are there with two kids not playing. They're called the goalies, and they're just like, hey, this is fine. And it's painful to see because all you want them to do is to pass the ball. So the coach calls a timeout and says, listen, okay, we're going to try this again. Okay, listen. There's an offense and there's a defense. You need to spread out. Spread out, and then someone will pass the ball to you. It'll be wonderful, and then you can run down the field and you can possibly score a goal. So the kids go back out. You know what happens? They just get in this clump again. And there's frustration, and there's excitement, and there's energy, and the parents are all proud parents. And they say, yay, you did good. But no one understands their positions. Same thing in marriage, I think. We see them going out in young married couples. We go, oh, yeah, you love each other. But they have no idea what they're doing. And I think some of the problems that we have in marriage is because, friends, we don't understand the roles and positions that we have. And this morning, we're going to use this soccer analogy because ultimately God is the coach. And when we do things God's way, under God's design and with God's intent, good things happen. When the kids listen to the soccer coach and they pass, they hit the square pass and they shoot it into the goal, they win. And if we would follow God's design for marriage, I submit to you, we would win. Because we're following God's playbook for marriage. So by now you should be in Ephesians chapter 5 as we look at the playbook for marriage. It's easy to say, and yet, friends, it is so hard to do. And next week we start BCS soccer. I will sit in my comfortable chair. I got a new chair. It ones that reclines. It's one of those wing chairs now. It's good. I'm good to go. I may take a nap. I'm not sure. But it's really easy for me to sit on the sideline and yell, "Run faster!" as my feet are reclined in my chair. It's really easy for us to say all this, but friends, the difficulty comes in doing it. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21, this should sound familiar. It should sound familiar, but it has a different wording because we're using two different translations. So Ephesians 5, verse 21, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ," or out of reverence of Christ. We are to yield to one another. Friends, as we work through relationships, relationships only work with a give and take. And you're going to leave here in approximately whatever time I let you out. You didn't catch that. But whenever you leave, you're going to come to the door. And two people are going to be standing there, and you're going to say, "You first, no, you 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 first." Has that ever happened to anybody? Somebody's got to be the first one to take the move. And as we look at the marriage relationship, we need to be, first of all, remindful that we are to be subject to one another. We are to yield to one another out of worship and reverence of Christ. And friends, may we never forget that Christ is the head of the church. And when we worship him, we are worshiping him because he is worthy to be praised. So Paul starts out and says, make sure to yield yourself to one another out of reverence and fear. Not fear for the heavy-handedness of God, but fear out of worship or awe of God for all that he has done for you. So what does this look like? What's the relationships look like? We want to be able to yield to one another, but what does this look like in practical, everyday living? Look at verse 21. He starts with the wives. Guys, we love to say this verse. We have our wives memorize this verse, don't we? And yet, so often, guys, we forget to practice verse 25. Ladies, I'm going to spend some time with you this morning. And guys, I would just put this disclaimer out there. If you decide to gently kind of pat your wife on the side and say, "Honey, listen, guess what? That elbow's coming in the next four verses." Okay, so just do to others as you'd have them do to you. Okay? All right, don't forget, she's the rib, and she sits right here under the wing of your protection. And the rib is closest to the heart, as we learned from last week. So we have in verse 21, wives, be subject to your own husband. He starts with the wife. And in all seriousness, he takes three verses and talks to the wives. He takes eight verses and talks to the husband. Let's not forget that. Wives, you are to yield. This is a voluntary yielding. You are not under obedience. In chapter 6, it talks about children obey. It says here in verse 21, wives, be subject to your own husband. We're all on the same team as God is our coach, and I mean no disrespect by this. But God has laid out the blueprint for how he wants us to manage and navigate our lives. Things go so much better when we follow the blueprint of our coach. Things go so much better when we follow the blueprint of God's written word. And so he says here, first of all, wives, willingly yield yourself to your own husband. You choose to follow his lead. Now, in today's society, that doesn't go too well, but I would come back and say, look at Genesis 2. It's the way God made it. God made man first and the woman second. As we look at soccer, I don't know much about soccer. I'm learning. But I know that there's a captain. And the captain is chosen by the head coach. For various reasons, the coach chooses the captain. God, in his order and design of creation, was never chaotic. He always had a system, and he always had a thought process. And God has chosen to put man as the head of the team. And he tells the wives to willingly subject to your own husband. Willingly, voluntarily follow your husband's lead. In a game of soccer, as they get older, sometimes you have these players that are ball hogs. They would never pass the ball. They don't desire to do anything but to keep the ball for themselves. They're not willing to play with another. And as we think about our marriages this morning, to have a successful team, it takes two partners. It takes two players. In a couple of days, our BCS teams and other soccer teams are going to be out there. How good would our teams be if it was 11 on 1? We were the 1 and they had the 11. It's what Adam saw in the Garden of Eden last week from Genesis 2. He basically said, hey, God, there's nobody here for me. So God said, fine, I'll create for a helper for you. And out of the side of the man came a woman that was fashioned and molded to be the perfect fit for exactly what the man needed. And so the lady, the woman, she is to willingly follow the lead of her husband. One commentator put it this way. He said, submission has nothing to do with the order of authority, but rather governs the operation of authority. How it is given and how it is received. There needs to be order. There needs to be structure. If we don't have structure in the home, we're going to have chaos. Our little kids, our girls, my girls, your kids, as they play peewee soccer, they don't understand the concept of teams and passing and defense and offense and backdrop and clear kick and all those other cool fancy terms. And so God is putting together a blueprint for our families so that we can have success. So let's go back here in verse 22. Wives, be subject. This idea of subjection is to yield. You willingly yield to his leadership. That's really easy to say, and it's really hard to do. It's really easy to say, and it's really hard to do, especially when we live in a society that tells us to not. And for this relationship between husbands and wives to work, there needs to be give and take. Now, I will not speak for any other man. I will only speak for myself. I don't know it all. And sometimes Holly has great perspective and see things a different way. Now, I can look at her and say, I'm the head of the house. You do as I say. And, well, that would work. But in the long run, that's not going to work. And so we need to willingly submit to one another because ultimately we're following Christ. So wives, you yield to your own husband. This is your husband that you have chosen. I can't go to someone else's wife and say, wife, you submit. That doesn't work. That's not how God intended it. It's not how God designed it. And notice, ladies, the most important thing is that when you follow the lead of your husband, it's a form of worship to the Lord. When you follow your husband, ultimately you're following Christ. So if you will, there's Christ, and then there's the husband, and then there is the wife. So ultimately, wives, you are coming under the leadership of Christ himself. Notice what he says in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, not in the form of dictatorship, not in the form of heavy-handedness, but in the design that God created. Not every person on the soccer field can be captain. There has to be a captain. There needs to be a captain, and everybody follows the lead of the captain, who therefore follows the lead of the coach. In this scenario, our coach is God. He's laid out the blueprint, and he's nominated and told us husbands, we are the captains of our families. So husband is the head of the wife. Oh, as Christ is also the head of the church. So ultimately, guys, we fall and we yield to Christ himself. Just as God set it up from himself to Christ to the church, we continue to fall into fellowship. Leadership is about following. Ultimately, we're following Christ. Christ himself being the Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, we follow what Christ says. That's why we read his word. We demonstrate our ability to follow as we follow in Christ's word. So also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. It helps with the order. So the question I have for you ladies this morning, am I following the lead of my husband? You see, sometimes there are very strong men, and sometimes there are passive men. Sometimes there are very strong women, and there are also passive women. But ladies, this morning I'm asking you, are you following the lead of your husband? It's the way God set it up. You can see it on the soccer field. You can see it in all sports teams when there is a captain, and somebody doesn't want to follow the captain and they go off and do their own thing. How does that work out for the team? Well, I would say it doesn't work out very well. And so, ladies, God's design for the family, his blueprint, is that you would follow the lead of your husband. Now, ladies, all that little tapping you felt on your shoulder, it's time to get that elbow ready to make sure he listens, because the rest of the time, I get to talk to the men, okay? All right, here we go. Now, husbands, what are we to do? We are to love your wife. That's really easy to say, and sometimes it's really difficult to do. For various reasons and various things, some of the ladies are saying, I can't follow the lead of my husband. And some people are saying, I can't love my wife. But notice the first thing. One of the biggest things and one of the strongest challenges I found in my study was from this word right here, love. Husbands, love your wives. This love is an agape love. It's a selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. Notice what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what does he call us to do? He calls us to love our wives. He calls us, lean in and listen, he calls us to love our wives. He doesn't call us to lead our wives. We have already been given the position of leadership, but he comes up and says, guys, love your wife. Love your wife. I am not to love somebody else's wife. I am to love my wife. And notice what he says. Well, hold on. I don't know how to love my wife. What does love mean? I don't understand. I'm so glad you asked, because Paul takes it further. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. He gave us an example. How did Jesus love the church? He loved the church sacrificially, and he loved the church selflessly. That is the way I am supposed to love my wife. That's really easy to say, and it's really hard to do. There have been many times in my ministry, over 16 years, that people have come in to my office, and I have yet to hear this come out of their mouth. Pastor, we're having marriage problems. My wife here, she's following my lead too much. I mean, everything, she just agrees, and we have this great dynamic going. Everything is going well, but you know what? She's just following my lead too much. I just don't know what to do. You know how many times I've heard that? Zero. Do you know how many times I've heard from a wife come in and go, Pastor, we've got big marriage problems. My husband, he loves me too much. I mean, he spends too much time with me. He spends too much money on me. I mean, he spends too much time caring for me. I mean, come on, really, do we need to go out on a date every single week? I mean, does he need to do the dishes every single night? I mean, really, he's overbearing. Do you know how many times I've heard that? Zero. Do you know what I have heard? Hey, Pastor, my wife won't respect me and follow my lead. And you know what the wife says? Pastor, my husband won't love me. My husband doesn't love me. And Paul challenges us, and he says, husbands, you agape, you sacrificially and selfishly, you love your wife. Guys, it's that simple, but it's also that difficult. Just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for her. Christ gave himself for the church. It would have been easier for Christ to stay in heaven and not give of his love for us. But he demonstrated his love towards us. In that while we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for me. And I, in turn, am supposed to follow that leadership and that example. And I am to love Holly like Christ loved the church. Woo, I'm about this close away. So the question I have for you guys, am I loving my wife with a sacrificial and selfless love? Ask yourself that, guys. Do I love my wife with a sacrificial and selfless love? But you don't understand. You're right, I don't. I don't. I don't know the struggles that you have. I don't know the ins and outs and delicacies of it. I don't. But this I do know is God's playbook for our marriage is that husbands are to look at your wives and you are to agape them. You love them with a sacrificial, selfless love. And I will only speak for me. I'm selfish. And I sometimes love with my own interest in mind. But husbands, do you look at your wife and do you love your wife? Not because of what she can do, just because you love her with a sacrificial, selfless love. Now, I look at this from my point of view, and I know that there are many points of view out there with this. Ladies, if you have a husband that loves you with a sacrificial, selfless love, a husband that has his arm around you, and you are fitted right here in the cove, right where that rib was taken from near his heart, and you know that he has the best interest for you in mind. I have yet to meet a lady that says, I wouldn't follow that lead. But guys, we need to demonstrate the sacrificial love that our wife desires. And I would take it a step further, that Christ commands. Now look at what verse 26 does. He takes it further from verse 25. I didn't have room on the slide for both, so look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. So the immediate context is Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here in verse 26. So that Jesus, he might sanctify her, her being the church. Friends, I cannot bring salvation to my wife. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can bring the cleaning and cleansing that she so desperately needs that I cannot give her. That comes only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that Jesus might sanctify the church, and having cleansed the church by the washing of the water with the word, Jesus came to pay the debt that we owed God, the debt that Christ was willing to pay. Verse 27, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle. I love doing weddings. I'm going to let you in a little insight here. Love doing weddings. I love doing the premarital counseling and seeing two people come together. They're so much in love. And then you see the guy, and he gets all dressed up. He gets super nervous, and then they're not going to see each other. And then the doors open, and the bride comes, and she's in this beautiful wedding gown. It is the most beautiful white wedding gown. It is perfectly pressed. Her hair is perfectly done, and she is just standing there in all of her glory, and the husband stands right here, and he starts to do this. And then I look at him, and you know what I do? She's standing there, beautiful, spotless, in the perfect gown, the perfect hair. And Jesus has done that for us. And so the bride comes forward, having no spot or wrinkle. Her dress is perfectly put together because she's coming to her husband. So in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or no such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is not speaking to a person. This is speaking to the church. How does the church become holy and blameless? It's only done through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so the question that I have for you this morning, the third one is, am I living in Jesus' love? You see, because I can't say for all marriages, but for some marriages, the biggest problem is you're trying to give love that you have never received from God himself. You cannot give what you have not received. And so to take this further, there was always, not always, that's difficult. There were sometimes a kid that would throw a temper tantrum in Pee Wee soccer. Why did he get to be the person that kicked the ball? And he'd walk off and sit in the field. And you'd see their parents go over. And he wouldn't get to play soccer because he wouldn't play according to the coach's rules. And sometimes, friends, in our marriages, we have such a difficulty giving sacrificial love and receiving sacrificial love because we've never come to the place where we receive Jesus' love. And so this morning, I ask you with the humbleness of hearts that I have, friend, you cannot give what you do not have. Have you received and are you living in the love of Jesus Christ? Your marriage cannot work the greatest until you come into a place and a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. So I'm to love my wife as I love myself. And I love myself, and you're going to be appreciative that I love myself. Do you know why? Because I took a shower. You're welcome. Not all of you are happy, but that's okay. The other half are going to be happy that I brushed my teeth this morning. Okay, no one's still happy about that. Some of you are happy that I had breakfast. Some of you are thinking you may have had a little too much breakfast. I take care of my body. Not the way I should, but I take care of my body. When I have aches and pains, I either go to the doctor to see the aches and pains and what they're about. I either take aspirin or Tylenol, or I put Bengay on it and hope that it goes away. One person asked me, have you ever been tubing? I said, yes, I have been tubing, but I don't bend anymore. I just simply snap in half. So I decide to just stay away and sit on the boat. And I'm the counterweight. That's my job now as dad. I'm counterweight. Because I don't want to hurt myself. I want to take care of myself. Holly wants me to take care of myself. And yet sometimes, guys, what happens is that we look at our wives and we neglect them. We don't neglect our own bodies. In just a few moments, we're going to dismiss and we're going to go get lunch because that's what our bodies need. In a couple hours, we're going to get supper. Why? Because that's what our body needs. And a couple hours after that, we're going to get our bowl of ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry on top. Why? Just because it tastes good and it's summer. Thank you. Appreciate that. Glory be to Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I take care of my body. But yet, friends, do you know what I do not do? I don't take care of my wife. And Paul says, for this playbook to work, for this team to work as a marriage, he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh. I would submit to you this morning, none of you hate your body. Because you go to the doctors, you feed it, you water it, you bathe it, you doctor it. And yet, friends, this morning, I wonder, do you do that with your spouse? Husbands, do you do that with your wife? But look what he says. But nourishes and cherishes her, just as Christ also does the church. Guys, am I caring for and affirming my wife daily? Am I caring for and am I affirming my wife daily? Here's a secret. I don't miss too many meals. But you know what I do miss? Opportunities to care for and affirm my wife. Oh, that was a good place. Oh, that was a good place. Oh, that was a good one. And we daily take care of our bodies. But men, do we daily care for and affirm our wives? There are some men who have a philosophy. I told my wife I loved her on our wedding day. When something changes, I'll let her know. And he's never told her again that he loves her. That's bad. Okay, that's bad. We take care of our bodies. Why would we not take time to care for our wife daily? Again, I submit to you, as a man's point of view, ladies that come in are selflessly cared for, sacrificially loved, cared for and affirmed daily, even every other day, under the wing and the protection of her husband who loves her, and she's nestled right here, why would she not want to follow that lead? It's easy to say, and it's hard to do. The four things from this passage, the first one, ladies, I come back to you. Are you allowing your husband to lead? Second one is, guys, are we loving our wives with a sacrificial and selfless love? Guys and gals, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give a Christ-like love if you have never received the love from Christ himself. And the fourth one, guys, I'm coming back to us. Am I caring for and affirming my wife daily? When's the last time you looked at your wife and said, hey, you look pretty beautiful today? I'm just saying, when's the last time you got your wife a set of flowers? Not because you screwed up, but because you wanted to say, I love you. When's the last time you gave her a box of chocolates that wasn't Valentine's Day? When's the last time you wrote her a note that had the words other than, I'm sorry? Come on. I can't be the only one. Maybe I am. But when's the last time you cared for and affirmed your wife? And you looked at her and said, you look at me with your face. You are beautiful. And I will protect you. And I will love you. We got homework to do. Because we need to hold the line. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. I want to pray for three specific people, three groups of people this morning, if you would be so vulnerable to allow me to pray for you. As always, I will never call you up. That's not my intent. I don't want to name you by names. That's not my intent. My intent and goal is just to pray for you as a pastor. So the first group I want to pray for is that third question. Am I living in Jesus's love? This morning, I wonder if you came, for whatever reason you came, someone invited you, your husband or your wife drug you here because you're having marriage problems. And I just wonder this morning if you would be willing to say, I have not accepted Jesus's love. Either you have questions, you have concerns, there's things that need to be clarified. I just wonder this morning, would you be willing to stick up your hand and say, I want to talk? Because I have questions. I have not received the love of Christ. Is there anybody here I can pray for this morning? Anybody here that we need to meet? Is there anybody here, second question, second group I want to pray for, wives. Ladies, again, I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to ask if I can pray for you, that you would follow the lead of your husband. For whatever reason, you're having a difficult time following your husband, and you just slip up your hand and say, yeah, you're right. I know God's word says it. I know the playbook says it. I just need prayer. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody here I could pray for this morning to follow the lead of your husband? Is there anybody here this morning, husbands, that you'd say, would you pray for me? Because I'm not loving my wife as I should with that sacrificial, selfless love. Would you pray for me this morning? Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, this is tough. It is hard. It's hard to say, and it's really hard to do. So Lord, as we sit here, as we gather here, we can only love with the love that you have given us. So Lord, I pray if there is someone in this building, someone that is watching online that has not received the love of Christ, may you give them the boldness. May you give them the desire to come and ask questions. That today can be the day that they receive your perfect love. And then be able to spread that to their husband and or wife. Lord, I pray for our wives. It's really hard to sit here and hear, just follow your husband. I pray, Lord, that they would be able to follow their husband as ultimately their husband should be following you. Lord, I thank you for the structure. Thank you for how you have laid it out for us. Lord, I pray for the husbands. I pray for myself, as I haven't always loved my wife as I should. Lord, help us to love our wives with a sacrificial, selfless love that cares for them, not to get something in return, but to follow out of obedience to what you have commanded. Lord, we love you so much. We are so thankful for marriage that you have made. It is a gift from you. And may we continue to see it as a gift from you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.